Learn how to alter your DNA. Expand your consciousness. Heal your body. Attain oneness. Sound, light, heat, vibration, and emotion. Changing us. Learn from the masters and grow wise.
Well, hello and welcome to Health in Action Live radio podcast. This is Annette Blanchard, holistic health practitioner and your host, bringing you 60 minutes of healthy talk radio. You know, years ago, I heard a statement that sort of like hit me between the eyes or slapped me on the side of the head. And that statement was, health is everything. And without it, everything else is nothing. And when I thought about that, I thought, wow. That is an undeniable truth and a fact. And many of you may think, yes, that is true because you know someone who's lost their health and that's battling to get it back, and perhaps it's even you. But what's more interesting is another statement that I've learned over the course of my career is not until one loses their health do they begin to take care of it. And unfortunately, that's also a sad truth. Sometimes we think about prevention and it's an important thing to us, but oftentimes, more often than not, it's not until we lose our health that we really begin to take care of it. So to me, what this program about today is not only health and how do you maintain the health that you have, how do you restore your health if you've lost it, or even if you think, you know what, I'm pretty darn healthy. Can you really kick it up a notch? I'm here to tell you, yes, you can kick it up a notch. But it's also about healing. How do you enhance the process? How do you accelerate it? Can you accelerate that healing process? It's also about instilling or renewing hope. Because sometimes once you lose your health, you think, or if you're suffering from pain, you think, oh my gosh, and will I ever be pain-free? Is there any hope? Have I lost all hope? There's nothing left for me. And I'm telling you, there is hope. It's also about exploring possibilities because sometimes we have to change our thinking and look at new possibilities for healing. So it's also about changing lives. And by sharing this information and this knowledge, this is how we can make a difference. And it's also about giving back. Because in the big picture of life, what is life unless we somehow take what we learn from life and give back? So it's living, learning, passing it on, and then also paying it forward. So my intention for this program today, Health in Action Live, is to bring you something of value, information that you might not know, resources that you may not have access to, and especially with the challenge with health insurance, not everybody has access to health insurance, but hey, here are some resources. And sometimes we have to take the ball in our own hand and we have to become educated on our own because there's always something that we can do. Sometimes we may not know what to do, and that's part of the purpose of this program is to give you a roadmap, teach you practical tips, maybe give you a different perspective, maybe share some possibilities for healing that you never even thought of, and simple self-care strategies that are actually doable. Because sometimes it seems so outside of ourselves and unattainable. Even if something as simple as, oh, I'm just going to go on another diet, I want to lose weight, and there's a million diets, it seems like it's just out of your reach. So I'm here to tell you there's simple self-care strategies that you can do on your own. And we're going to learn from some world-class medical clinics, the physicians, we're going to be talking to authors, other health professionals, and other people that are in the industry that are of like mind, other seekers of knowledge, things that can impact your health and your life, or maybe someone that you love in a positive way and actually make a difference. And that's why I'm here today, is because I'm interested in planting seeds of wellness. I'm interested in teaching you how to fish and not fish for you. I want to take what I've learned through the experiences I've had and the training I've done, and then also share with you the information of all these amazing health professionals I've had the opportunity to meet. But first, what I want to talk about is the healing journey, because sometimes life takes us on a journey. You know, sometimes health challenges have a way of teaching us things. We learn from the experience, and sometimes the easy way, and sometimes we have to learn the hard way. I know I've had to learn the hard way, and sometimes more than one time, because I didn't get the message the first darn time. It's also that experience can sometimes change your life forever. Kind of like cancer, it changes your life forever, that's for sure. Either your health, it can change your work, your relationships. And then we have to come to a point where we're at a crossroads of change, where we are forced to make a choice. We can make changes as a result of that experience. And sometimes we don't make the changes. Why? Because we're paralyzed by fear. But there's always a consequences to those choices. Some are good, maybe some and not so good. But they all come with a lesson either way. The key is, what is the message for you? And that's why I want to, first of all, start out the gate and share a little bit about myself and what my story is and why I'm so darn driven and tireless when it comes to planting seeds of hope and opening windows of opportunities and possibilities for healing, and why it's been my life's work for the past 40 some odd years. Because everyone has a story. The challenge is, our story can sometimes be a roadblock, or it can provide clues, or it can give you insight. And I want to share my story, because when I was 5 years old, I remember watching my grandfather die of lung cancer. And I was paralyzed in the corner in fear, because it was, everything was hush hush. And so all I got was the fear factor of it, even though I didn't really understand everything that was going on. Later, my uncle died of colon cancer at the age of 55. I think my grandfather was maybe in his 52-ish or so. And I remember going to visit him in the hospital, and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I don't know if I could ever work in a hospital, because it would be so hard to watch people deteriorate. But I still had a thirst for understanding why and what was on the inside of the body, or what was in this inside of a dead chicken when they were killing chickens. I just had this thirst for knowledge. But when I went to see my uncle, I remember I could not watch people deteriorate. And that's kind of why probably I got more into sports medicine and became a sports injury specialist. But when my uncle was 42 years old, he also died of a heart attack. And then when my mom was 46 years old, she also died of a heart attack. So I got on a soapbox, and I've been preaching and singing my message for a really long time. And that is probably one of the reasons and the most motivating factors for me. But what's interesting is, when I was in my 20s, I went for a routine pap smear and ended up with a phone call with the dreaded C word. Cervical cancer, which took me on my own healing journey. It was no longer about physical fitness, sports and injury rehab. Now it meant for me, okay, healer, heal thyself. It was a wake-up call. But what happens when we first hear those words? Like anyone, I was totally paralyzed by fear. My mom was gone. My grandmother had Alzheimer's. I didn't have any family. I didn't have a support system. So I thought, how can I get over my fear? And how do you get over fear? Is you got to really anchor into what your faith is. And for me, I grew up with an exposure to faith. And so that's where I started, is to lay my foundation with my faith, because I remember every day praying, oh, today I ask for courage, Lord, because all my courage is gone. Today I ask for strength, the strength to carry on. But I also ask forgiveness for times when I was wrong. Dear Lord, please give me strength and courage to be strong. But what good is strength and courage without wisdom and guidance too? It takes courage to make decisions, but it takes wisdom to follow through. So I ask you, Lord, for guidance in everything I do. I sing to you my praises, because my blessings come from you. In that moment, I had to take and look at things with new eyes. I had to have a paradigm shift. I had to think, how could I turn what I perceived as my greatest nightmare into the possibility of a miracle And I'm telling you, it is possible, because if there's anything I learned, hope never dies. And so that took me on digging deeper to health and wellness. And it was no longer only about working with Olympic athletes and professional athletes and sports and injury rehab, but that's also a certain mindset. So there was value in that as well. Later on, I ended up working with one of the largest alternative medical clinics and learned quite a lot from then. And then all of a sudden, here I find myself in Mexico working with an alternative medical cancer clinic where I met patients from all walks of life, all ages, and every cancer that you can imagine. And what I learned is it doesn't matter what stage you are, whether you've gone through traditional cancer treatments or alternative only, or you switched from one to another. What I learned is hope never dies. But again, you have to keep the faith. And also, interestingly enough, there are simple foundational principles for healing. And it's not a secret. We think, oh, there must be a magic secret. And I'm here to tell you that there's no secret, because the same formula that it takes to prevent disease is the exact same formula that it takes to reverse disease, which is the same formula for athletic performance and stamina. But also, when people are searching for the fountain of youth, guess what? It's the same formula. There's no secret. That is the secret. There are certain foundational principles and certain things that are just basic physiology. And it doesn't matter if you have cancer. It doesn't matter if it's diabetes. Is it heart disease? Is it arthritis? Is it pain? Is it a sports injury? That physiology is physiology. And so I'm here to tell you they're simple things, and I'm here to share that knowledge with you. But what I'm really excited about is to share with you some information that I met with a really special guest that I met when I went on a convention. And his name is Kelly Gale Amon. And he's also, because what I found is when I met him is, oh my gosh, here I am with someone of like mind that is as interested in passing on, the word of good health, and has a mission behind him. And he's the founder of Cancer Below the Belt out of Houston, Texas. And interestingly enough, I didn't know anything this about him at all. All I found is we had a common denominator. Only later on I learned that he's one of Houston's top interior designers. And he's been an influential participant in the Houston arts and design community for over 45 years. And he's been creating unique interior designs, functional art furniture, and using many different mediums, cast metal, bronze, wood. And he's also been featured on HTV's Extreme Homes, as well as design projects. And his projects have been published in books and magazines. But what was interesting is there's a heart behind the man and the heart behind his success, because he's also been the support behind many charitable organizations throughout his career, including the Texas Children's Cancer Center, the AIDS Foundation of Houston, Susie Corman, Race for the Cure. We're really familiar with that because the media gives it a lot of attention. And so what's fun about him is his sense of humor and his playfulness, and I would call him a little colorful. So I would like to welcome to the program, because I think he's going to be able to add some helpful insight and find out what we can learn from him and his experience. Welcome to the program.
Annette, as they say, you all come back now. Down in Texas, there's nothing more wonderful than sharing what we believe in, who we believe with, and what we think could make a difference. It's like you were saying, once and when you're given the ability to understand that we can all put back the ease into disease, if we just remove the fear of fear itself, it's amazing how fast we can learn and how fast we can go. I remember in the early 90s, I went in to an examination for my body because it was time. I wanted to see how I was doing and how I was meditating and how I was progressing. And all of a sudden, they said, you have cancer. I had no symptoms. I had no reason to believe that. But it's true. I did. I had prostate cancer, and in the early 90s, the only option they gave me was at that point whether I would go in the next week for a radical prostatectomy or I would wait 3 weeks and give blood. Well, of course, me and my sense of humor, I had to be in L.A. or rather San Francisco the next weekend for a party. So I elected to wait 3 weeks, give blood, and then have the prostatectomy. That alone, and as it said, though, altered my life. It made me really look at how fragile we are, how important it is to listen, how important it is to learn, and how important it is, Annette, to ask questions. You know, ever since you and I met, one of the greatest things that we ever did and have done is speak. Let's speak to the truth. Let's speak to what we know. Let's speak to how we can listen to our body. I laugh at my life so many ways. And years ago, I was working for a client who was a motivational genius. And he would get up and he would go in front of his crowd and he would go, "How long have you been dead?" Well, it's interesting because so many people don't really realize that they're living their life from a dead focus and a perspective anyway. And the key is to take hold and understand and realize that we can embrace wellness, health, understanding, and goodness in so many, many wonderful ways. Annette, when we met in Houston, you know, at the conference, I'm not really quite sure why we were there. Can you remember why you were there?
Of course, I was there because I was interested in learning how could I spread the word and reach more people than one person at a time. You know, so I was curious, and I don't know how I ended up down there completely, but that was my intention when I went. However, as you know, we both didn't get exactly what we thought we bargained for, and I'm not really clear what was going on. So, however,
all I remember that out of that confusion, the great part of it is that we met, we started conversing. I was interested in what you were doing. I was interested in how you perceive and how you hydrate the body. I was interested in how I am interested in my little awareness campaign, which I'll speak to more than you probably want to hear tonight. But the awareness, how can you get people not to be afraid of speaking of their most intimate body parts in a way that you can break that stigmata and get them to be comfortable with it? So, Annette, we've spoken to this so many times, but I was having a photo session with one of the cyber girls for Playboy. And she said, well, you know, if I take my top off, will you take your bottom off? And I said, absolutely. And the photographer said, there it is. There's your hashtag. Get caught with your pants down. That is the hashtag for cancer below the belt. I had no idea where this journey was going to go, but now I have what we call the Dirty Dozen, which are the 12 cancers that I refer to or speak to, whether it's bladder, cervical, colon, intestine, pancreatic, penile, testicular, uterine, vulva. Let's not be afraid to share that. Let's not be afraid to speak to it. Let's not be afraid to share. You have a problem. But also, with every problem comes really beautiful opportunity. You have the ability to learn more about you, yourself. And I would say, Annette, that I'm probably dead on this or correct on this. There's no one in this country, in the world, that's not familiar or in touch with someone who has one of these cancers or knows someone who has one of these cancers. Would you not agree with me?
Well, you know, what's interesting is statistics now are 1 out of 2 people. At the time that I was diagnosed with cervical cancer, I also had a lump in my breast that I ended up going back to Canada because I had health care there and not here. And when I was there, the doctor at the time said to me, I said, well, how many women is, you know, do you find that it's malignant? And he said, well, 1 out of 8. Today, it's more like 1 out of 2. Every other person the new statistics are that will have cancer in their lifetime. Children's cancer is one of the fastest growing cancer at a rate of 3,000%. That is outrageous. So if we are going to look at cancer, we have to pull it out of the closet. We also have to take a look at the root of cancer. For me, you know, breast cancer, we talk about it so much, about the girls, there's the race for the cure, it gets a lot of media attention. Honestly, I've never really shared with very many people until I started teaching more about, you know, being diagnosed with cervical cancer. And again, like I said, it doesn't matter if it's the first stage or the fourth stage, the fear is the same for everyone. And I don't care who it is.
It's really true, Annette, because when they come or it comes or you're told you have cancer, your life is different. Your life is different. You look at things differently. You hear things differently. And you know that you're going to be on a journey where you're going to get to make choices.
Yes, and I would agree with that because, you know, at that time, you know, my whole thing with sports medicine, okay, what's the root of what's causing the problem? You know, is the pain coming from your shoulder? Is it coming from the nerves in your neck? Is it a repetitive injury? You know, is it your mechanics? So I would always look at it that. But when I was diagnosed with cervical cancer, after I kind of got over to the fear and started to anchor more into the faith and do what my professional and Olympic athletes did when they were going for the gold, you have to have it in your mind clearly that your body's begun the healing process. And so in my mind, that is what I did. And like what you just said, you start looking at everything completely different. For example, what I learned as a result of that experience is cauliflower, broccoli, kale, spinach, the coniferous vegetables are known to help fight cancerous. All of a sudden, I'm looking at broccoli with new eyes. I learned that there's a formula to duplicate a healthy cell. Right? So like when women are pregnant, it's common sense. They think, oh, I can't have alcohol because I won't have a healthy baby. Oh, don't stress me out. Oh, I got to make sure I get my folic acid. Otherwise, I won't have a healthy baby. But every day we give birth to healthy cells or not so healthy cells. Every 28 days, you get all brand new skin cells on your face. Every 3 months, you go through a whole new lining in your intestines. Every 7 years, you go through whole cellular regeneration. So can you duplicate a healthy cell? Yes, you can. But you have to know what is the formula to duplicate a healthy cell. Getting the right nutrients, eliminating stress, toxins, you know, making sure you're getting proper hydration. All of these things are foundational. So can you reverse a disease? Does cancer have to be a death sentence? No, it doesn't. And
well,
so
and
that's,
you know, Annette, excuse me for interrupting. I always take it so simply by we are what we eat and we're who we're with. It really is so much that, don't you think?
You know, speaking of who you're with, I got to tell you, that couldn't be a more true statement because, you know, you don't want to be around a Debbie Downer or people that don't. If you want to go for non-toxic treatments, you cannot be around someone that doesn't believe in it. And says, oh, it's just baloney. Oh, those alternative treatments, they don't work. Oh, they just want your money. And that's their mindset. You cannot afford to be around those people. You've gone in a room where you've listened to someone bitch and moan and blah, 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 blah. By the time they're done, you're so exhausted and drained. But when you come into a room and you meet somebody like you, like when I met you, there was an energy and the energy amps up and then all of a sudden there's a synergy and there's an exchange of energy. And so we have to tap into where do I feel uplifted, where there's an exchange of energy, where you're with someone of like mind, because that simple fact, that little point that you made is critical. Because a bad attitude can kill you faster than a bad germ. That's what Dr. Jimenez from the cancer clinic always says.
I totally believe that because it's like you say, you walk into a room and you can feel the energy. You can feel when someone's an energy vampire. You can feel when someone's pulling out of you. It's just, I mean, I love sugar, but it's not the best thing in the world for me to eat. you know, but in moderation, this is what life is about, isn't it?
It's absolutely about that and sharing that experience. I remember when I was at the cancer clinic, we had a patient that came to the clinic. And interestingly enough, he was a massage therapist as well. And that fellow was so negative the entire time. He was so angry. And that's one of the phases that people will go through, you know, anger. Why is it happening to me? The things that you lose, your job, your life, your relationship, life as you knew it before. And he was so negative. I can't eat this food. Oh, you expect me to do this? The whole time. And I thought to myself, this man will not survive because he isn't embracing his power to create healing in his own body and the body that God gave us and the divine knowledge that it has to heal. But key point is we have to assist our body in that healing process. It doesn't happen. Well, a lot of things happen in magic. You cut yourself and it automatically, you know, knits and scars and all that other stuff. But again, we can assist our body in that healing process and accelerate healing.
Annette, I have a question to ask you because I'm always looking at how I can as well improve my system and my profile. I mean, I know the Dirty Dozen and I know what I'm doing on those things. And I know that if we go to my website, you look at all of the screening and the testing and whatever. But if you don't have the awareness of cancer and if you're looking at things that could be preventative or important, isn't hydration one of the most important things on that level?
I'll tell you something. That is probably one of the most foundational things on the planet. And it makes sense. We are born in water. We float around in it for 9 months. Our body is water. Plants die without it. Human life cannot exist without it. Your brain is 80% water. Your muscles are 75% water. Your blood is 90% water. So sometimes when, for example, you know, people forget all the time or they think, oh, that older person, they got dementia. And sometimes it's simply dehydration. I had a patient like that. They thought, oh, she's got dementia. But when I noticed she was getting zero water, guess what? It affects your ability to think. So water can affect your ability to think. You know, it works on your digestive system. It's how does your, and this is physiology. This is not, you know, like some magic thing. And it's so foundational. One of the doctors that I know that runs an alternative clinic here in town, she is probably the only doctor that I have ever met in my lifetime. The very first question that she asks her patients is, how much water do you drink? Do you know that 90% of pain can sometimes be mitigated or significantly decreased just with hydration? An athlete that's cramping, if they hydrate properly, it can help prevent cramping, digestive problems with people that are older and constipation. But the key is people kind of go, oh, you know what? I don't want to drink water because I got to pee all night. But when you think about the detoxification process, because why do we get cancer? Why do you have pain? Why is the body inflamed? The tool that water provides also is the ability to detoxify and cleanse your body. It dilutes the concentration of carcinogens. When you hydrate your body, your blood being 90% water, when we don't drink enough water, guess what? The river of life carries oxygens and nutrients to the cells, right? But it also carries waste products away from the cells so that it can be flushed out of the body. When people don't drink enough water, guess what? The river of life becomes slow and sluggish. And sometimes it could be part of the root of why someone even had a stroke. So is water important? Hell yes.
I have a question because I'm always looking at this. I know that there's been a big issue about bottled water and every level. Water, is it better room temperature? Is it better cold? What would be the best way to modify my home structure for a better water system?
Well, this is the key. You know, we all hear, oh, well, water at room temperature is better for you. It's easier to digest. But my philosophy is, you know, if it's cold, I'll drink a boatload more. But the key is there is a difference in different types of water. So there's always different levels you can kick it up a notch. For example, I try to, you know, be mindful, right, of drinking more water. When I started interviewing Dr. Batman Gita on Your Body's Many Cries for Water, and when I learned about how all these things, these health issues are simply caused by dehydration. You know, so yes, you can go and buy bottled water because now we know that our tap water isn't that great. The chlorine, you know, now we've got drugs in our water, you know, the hard water, some areas have worse waters. So to me, if somebody is drinking water, that's at least one good point. However, bottled water is better than tap water. Okay. So, but again, we take a look at, if you look at some of the things that I learned at the cancer clinic, when water is sitting in plastic, right, it leaches the petrochemicals out of that plastic into the water. And how does the body become toxic? That's just one of the ways. Now, that water is being shipped across country in a hot truck. Now you've got the temperature, as we know your car, the temperature rises, right, when the windows are closed. That water is traveling in these trucks with heat, which causes those petrochemicals to leach even further into the water. So you want to look at what are the root causes and how can you make simple changes. So there's been a whole other paradigm shift in good water. What's good water? And I even learned a whole other thing about water because who knows, one water is better than the other until again, you go to another level and you learn about it. Okay, this choice is better than that choice. That's when I learned also about, you know, ionized alkalized water. Why? Because God was knocking on my hood once again after doing, you know, what, 30 years of deep tissue sports massage on professional athletes. My hands inflamed so bad. My fingers were locking. My fingers were cramping. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm just going to have to give up my career. And then somebody told me about alkalized, ionized water, and I thought, what have I got to lose? I've tried everything, and I have nothing to lose. So when do we make a change? When we're desperate, or when we're in pain, or when our livelihood depends on it, and we're suffering, right? So I had to have a paradigm shift. And that's when I thought, I've got nothing to lose. I could not believe in a week to 10 days, I had no pain at all. And I thought, oh my gosh, I need to know more. And that's when I started to investigate, you know, the technology, because science is always coming out with technology that helps the body heal in other ways. But the thing is, it wasn't new technology. This is a technology that's existed in Japan for 40 years, 20 years in hospitals. And this is also, once I started learning about it, I thought, okay, this changes the ball game for healing. And I started to also integrate it.
It's also, Annette, I think what happens in wellness, it's not just one moment. It's a process and it's a discipline. We have to really get into the program and really be participatory in it, in the program of wellness. It just doesn't come overnight.
And it doesn't come overnight. And so let me ask you, when going through prostate cancer, what are the biggest changes that you made?
Well, it's really interesting because in the early 80s, I quit drinking. I loved alcohol so much that, and I just decided that I needed to stop. So in the early 80s, I did that, and I watched my body go from all of the sugar intake of alcohol to desserts and then back, and then I stabilized, and I had no symptoms, as I spoke earlier of, with prostate cancer. Went in for just a medical review, and then I had prostatitis. They had to remove the prostate. In the early 90s, the radical prostatectomy was so tough on the body. I mean, because you go in and you come out impotent and incontinent, and you have to learn how to reassign all of your primal needs, desires, urges, and activities, and realize that it's just not the way it used to be. Eating well, sleeping. But again, Annette, it's like I was saying to you earlier, get the toxins out of your body, out of your mind, out of your room. Get negative people away from you. Get the things that are death traps away from you. and learn to live positively and to be clear on what it is you want. I work with nutritionists. I work with people who understand. It's why I love what you do so much and your quest for hydration. It's why I love people who are willing to talk about. Don't be afraid to talk about your testicles. It's okay. Get them tested. Get them screened. If when we go, Annette, to my website, and I'm altering a little bit from your question, but I'm a firm believer to be aware and to be knowledgeable of what's going on. One of the very first photographs that I got when I started the awareness campaign with Cancer Below the Belt was a really, really funny redneck guy standing there, his pants dropped in his living room, and I called him and I said, "Why is this so important to you, please? Because I'm fascinated." And he said to me, he said, "It's really simple. If my wife had just been tested and screened, she wouldn't be in the urn on the table next to me as I'm being photographed." We have to be present in our body and in our journey, because if we don't, we're really negating and neglecting the things that keep us moving forward. Our voice, our pattern, our message. It's like what you're doing. Help people get through the stigmata and help them get moving forward into what will make a difference, where they can have a quality of life. Isn't that what you're really about, Annette? Isn't that what this is really all about?
It is about quality of life. It's about the education process. And I think that's one of the things that and reasons why I kind of resonate with you is because we sort of have a parallel mission, you know. And I want you to just share with us also, because as you mentioned, you know, who's going to talk about being impotent or, you know, being incontinent or who's going to talk about anal cancer? And, you know, I came across patients with that, you know, where the tumor was outside of them and it's painful, but it's not something that you're going to share in the suffering that someone kind of goes through. But you have teamed up with a number of artists to get your message out and the education that you're trying to get out into the media. And one of the most, I want you to share with our listeners a little bit about the pillows and about Baylor College of Medicine, because to me, this is groundbreaking.
Well, what happens is there doesn't need to be a tug of war for power. I think that I would not have survived if Western medicine hadn't come in, diagnosed me, taken the prostate, the cancer out, and helped me get through it. My quality of life would not be where it is now if I had not gone through the whole process of homeopathy, wellness, eating, being clear on what I'm doing to my body, and recycling the wellness into it. But, you know, we don't speak to these things. We don't talk about one's anus. You know, that is just not something you discuss. You don't go there and do it. You don't talk about penile cancer. You don't talk about the vulva. And what's really fun for me is the Dirty Dozen. I don't know whether it's the Dirty Dozen or the 12 Disciples. Maybe they're all the same.
I think they're the same.
But what happens is, I was so naive when I started Cancer Below the Belt, and I just picked 12 cancers that I thought would have some relevance to what's happening in my mission to get people to take the fear out of it. And whether it's testicular, uterine, vulval, prostate, penile, whether it's intestinal, ovarian, cervical, bladder, anal, I don't care as long as we can play with it. And what I've done, which is really wonderful, and I hope people can see that there's a way to incorporate their life's mission. This past October, I went back to India for the 20th time, but it was my 40th year anniversary as having gone to Kashmir for the first time and having bought my first chain stitch tapestry. Well, this time what I did is I worked with the crafts, the industry there, and had the 12 cancers made into 12 pillows. which are all 18-inch squares, and they're into pillow cabinets. So the pillow cabinet is 4 feet by 5 feet, and all 12 of the pillows are such that you can pull out my anus and play with your vagina, and we can have a dialogue where people can touch and feel and see and realize that we have to be open to the expression and the exchanges and the conversation. We can't keep it hidden anymore. There's just no way.
And it's just anatomy.
Right. And here's the great part for me. It enables me to use the design part of my world, which is what's navigated me from decade to decade to decade, and help keep the crafts of countries alive, and also a mission where it's okay to speak to these things because they're beautiful. And you see, you know, these cabinets are going to be put into educational facilities, hospitals. You were talking about Baylor College of Medicine in Houston. It's true. We're in the epidemiology wing of the Baylor College of Medicine in the Cullen Building. And it's so great to have it there because it's right there in your face.
You know, I'm looking at a picture of it. I downloaded the picture and I'm looking at all of the different pillows. And, you know, there's a little body with, and it's all stitched, I can see. And the picture of, you know, like a colon, a person with a colon. And there's a picture of, you know, the cervical cancer and just sort of like, you know, the organ there. And so I just thought it was such a genius idea to be able to pull out this pillow with this picture of whichever one of these cancers are, because I think it's, like you said, it's important to be able to talk about these things and take away the shame and the stigma, which I know is your main thrust.
Well, it's so interesting. Can you imagine, and you've been with me and you know I do this, I will walk into a restaurant, 20 people, and I'll go up and I'll go, are you ready to drop your pants for me? And people look at you and go, what are you talking about? And it opens the conversation. And by the time it's over, people are really interested in being part of the program and the message, because everyone is afraid until they are given the freedom not to be afraid.
Well, you know, why don't you go ahead and share with our listeners your website, because they can go and explore. You know, you have the team of artists, and I think you have a series of paintings now. They can see the pictures. They can look at all of the different events that you've done and what's kind of going on with Cancer Below the Belt. And then also, you know, talk about what your ongoing vision and your mission is for Cancer Below the Belt moving forward.
Annette, thank you. The website is cancerbelowthebelt.com, cancerbelowthebelt.com. It's Cancer Below the Belt. It's those cancers that are just not talked about.
There's and so if somebody knows someone that may be experiencing it, they can go to your website, because you have a lot of good information on that screening that you were talking about and the different types of tests that you need to look at and find out about. It's important to look at what are the symptoms, you know, because you might not even realize. So there's your website has really evolved with some great, valuable information.
Well, it's a great website. It's a great, it's a plethora of education. And if someone's really daring enough, they can go to the Get Caught With Your Pants Down hashtag, photograph themselves and send us the image. We have thousands of images from all over the world, people doing this. And it's not about nudity, you know, underwear, but it's about being present in the refusing to bring guilt and anger and pain into it, but going, this is something I'm dealing with and I need to share this with us. I know we just got the vulva painting, which we have 12, there's 12 paintings and this is the 10th. And the vulva painting is a woman up in Michigan who saw on the website, and she said, I'm for you. I've had like 20 surgeries. I've been cut everywhere, but I have an attitude, and I want people to understand what this is, and I want to be your icon. It's like the anal cancer. I was in Atlanta doing an event, and someone walked in, and they said, this is one of the most interesting exhibitions I've ever seen. And I said, well, we're still looking for these cancers. And I said, anal's one of them. And he goes, I have anal cancer. I will be your icon. So, you know, it's letting people have a platform for their process as well. It's right. a voice that they can have and they can share. And it takes the shame out of it, because there's no shame about being sick, but there is a shame about being afraid of being sick. That's pretty good. That was good, wasn't it, Annette?
That was excellent and well said. That's for sure. And I'm so happy that, you know, there's someone like you that's, you know, being a voice for a lot of those patients and people that are suffering from that. And then also giving them the freedom to also have their own voice. Because you know what? That is also one of the things that's critical in the healing process, is to be able to express. Because when we express instead of suppress, that's when we can find freedom of disease and we can go through a healing process. Because even the simple act of journaling, let me tell you, I started journaling mostly out of fear. And let me tell you, it was like Jesus was my pen pal, and I was, you know, writing stories to him and, you know, praying to him and writing about my fears and my insecurities and, you know, praying for guidance and for wisdom and, you know, just the process of writing. There was, it was like a therapist session almost. And what was interesting is through that process of writing is actually where a lot of my poetry began. And I've been writing ever since I went through that whole experience. And before really? I end the program, I want to share one of the last poems that I wrote a while ago that I share with many patients, because it's one of the things that we all need to be mindful of, and that's being grateful for little things.
Well, we have to be thankful for that, because, you know, it's like I always say, awareness brings wellness. Isn't that beautiful?
And it certainly does, you know, but we also have to not only be aware, we have to take the courage to take action. You know, we have to take the steps. You know, we have to be mindful of looking at what is the root of what's causing the problem. You know, looking at our lifestyle, you know, looking at how can we facilitate healing, even with the detoxification, and, you know, even with something as simple as sweating that helps to facilitate that. And, you know, throughout the upcoming programs, I'm going to be sharing a lot of the secrets, the inside secrets from some of these leading cancer clinics, what they do. Patients literally pay $30,000 to $60,000 to spend a month to go and learn some of these things. But you know something, the bottom line is at the end of the day and you leave the clinic, you got to go back to your life. You got to figure out, okay, how can I integrate this new lifestyle into my life today?
Well, you have to, you Annette, it's true. You have to be aware, and then you also have to participate and take ownership of it. You know, you have to really take ownership of the process.
Yes, I would concur with that. You know, with that in mind, I want to just share this quick little poem, you know, because I don't know, I just think it has significance in the overall healing process as well, because gratitude is important in the healing process just as much as forgiveness is. And sometimes forgiveness is the, or lack of forgiveness can also be a route that is a roadblock in someone's healing process. I've seen many times down at the cancer clinic and patients that I've worked with. And at the clinic, we did something called recall therapy, which is looking at the roots of our emotional well-being, right? Because it's our mind and our thinking, how we look at things, our paradigm shift. Maybe it's old wounds from the past. It's our spiritual, our soul, doing things that make our heart happy and being around people that we love that are positive and uplifting for us. It's everything. Healing has multifaceted. It reminds me of a crystal with all of the different sides. It's not only one thing. There's no magic bullet. That's for sure. Okay, I'm going to share this poem.
I totally agree with that. So, Annette, I'm desperate to hear your poem.
I'm desperate to share, can you tell? anyways, okay. It's called Grateful for Little Things. Remember to be grateful for all the little things, the good times and the bad times, no matter what it brings. Simple things like nature, her ferocity and her calm, the beauty of a sunset and the magic of a dawn. Time taken to say I love you or that I really care. Forgotten words unspoken, then one day they're not there. For the breath of life we breathe, the sensation of the sun on your skin. Every morning a new day, an opportunity to begin. To remember to be grateful for all the little things, the temple that God gave us and the lessons that he brings. The peace found in forgiveness and laughter felt to the bone. The spontaneity of a moment and quiet time spent alone. Kind words softly spoken and love expressed without words. The magnificence of my snowy owl and a million other birds. The cleansing of a rainfall as God cries upon the earth. Every tear, a tear of forgiveness, creation and rebirth. I'm grateful and I'm thankful for all the little things. Faith, hope, and love, no matter what life brings. That was inspired through my own experience with cancer. And I think those were sometimes words that were channeled from the ethers or, you know, somewhere else. Because sometimes I think, wow, I can't believe that came through me. But it's the truth. And when it comes down to it, it's about telling the people that you love that you care and letting them know before they're gone. Today.
Well, gratitude is a very interesting thing, isn't it?
Yes. And so with that, I want to tell you how grateful I am that you were a guest on my program today and helping me kick off the program. What a blessing it has been to meet you, because you have been such great fun. And every time we connect and talk, it's such a joy. And it was such a blast when we traveled down to Mexico and I was able to give you a tour of the cancer clinic and show you all the different things that they do at the clinic to help the body heal. And more important, I'm so happy to get behind also that your mission as well with Cancer Below the Belt, and also be a voice to share with others and who need to know that there is hope and there are possibilities for healing. And there are resources that you have access to. So you want to go to cancerbelowthebelt.com. Find out what Kelly Amon is doing next. He has different events. Make a contribution. Be a sponsor. We can all make a difference in our own way.
Because, Annette, the truth is this. Life is what we do and who we do it with.
And I am so happy to be doing
some of my life with you, brother.
It's really wonderful, Annette. I can't thank you for having me on the show, this program. And now we need to get into more trouble. How does that sound?
Oh, it sounds like fun to me. It's all about balance, right? And sometimes, you know, I'm so passionate about my message and to get it out. Sometimes I forget to stop and play. You know, and yeah. I think there's a few people, you get so caught up. Mind you, we're in the Newport Beach area, and when you're in the area, all of a sudden you're running as fast as them. And when I first came here from Canada, I'm thinking like, what does stressed out mean? And it doesn't long before all of a sudden you're running with the cows.
Well, the key is to embrace each moment, each second, each thing, each glass of water.
Yes, each glass of water, and we're going to dive into that topic a little bit more, and we'll have Dr. Ella Thorpe, who also, you know, helped conduct a clinical study on, you know, the alkaline ionized water, and who's a big advocate of hydration, how it helped her sister that was battling 4-stage breast cancer, and her husband also, because, that was dealing with, you know, kidney stones, and then which inspired and her conducting a clinical study at her clinic, which was quite fun. And then I'll also share a little bit more about how we used it at the cancer clinic in Mexico.
Well, and you're going to help me get a water system.
You bet you I am. And I would be happy. I'm going to, because you know what? When you find something that actually does what it says it's going to do, I've had my system for 12 years. You could not push me off my soapbox because I've had too much experiences. I've integrated it into my healing practice. I've seen patients reduce inflammation, heal in half the time. You know, so there's a lot to be said for that. And I'm telling you, it's not a magic pill. It's simply water, 8 cups a day. Any closing thoughts before we close the program?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. You know, thank you, Annette. It's so important what the message is, and to have people and the viewership is so great. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Okay, well, we'll be in touch soon, and thank you so much for being a guest on the program today with Health in Action Live, bbsradio.com/Health in Action Live, broadcasting every other Monday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Share the link with your friends and family. It's also, you can download the app and listen on your phone and whistle while you work and learn as you work, and pass it on with friends. And sometimes, you know, make sure you bring a notebook, because you always find something, some golden nugget.
Oh, I love all that. All right.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Good night.
All right. Bye for now. All right. Thanks again for listening and tuning in to Health in Action Live. This is Annette Blanchard, Holistic Health Practitioner, signing off. Bye for now.